Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is still in the miracle working business. Greetings, beloved radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message that I've been ministering on out of the first chapter of the book of Haggai, Build Ye the House of the Lord. God is very much involved in the lives of His people to build the corporate body of Christ, to see the harvest brought in, as well as working very intimately, very intricately in your life to bring forth His purposes for your life, for the reason He created you. Isn't that, God had a point and a purpose and a destiny and a reason for the creation of every single soul. Every single soul is important. All lives matter to God. And that should be true for us, regardless of educational background, IQ, talents, abilities. None of that matters. Everything we've gotten, why should we boast or be envious or jealous of one another? Because God loves everyone. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't favor one group of people or one individual over another. Why? Because He's God. It's hard for us to relate to that kind of love because in many cases the love that we have is conditional. We cannot fully relate and understand, or only in very rare instances, God allows someone to love us with the kind of unconditional love, which is really a foreshadowing of God's love, His mercy, and His grace. So we are looking at the book of Haggai, and the prophet, basically, in that first chapter, is rebuking them. He said, is this the time for you to dwell in your comfortable lifestyles and the work of the kingdom go unattended? He actually says, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses, this house lie waste? What the Spirit of the Lord said to them, He's saying to us today individually. He's been saying it to me. It is a time for self-examination, a time for self-reflection because of the perilous times in which we're living. Our nation has been torn apart by violence, by discord, by strife, and the responsibility, the burden for change really rests with the church. If my people, how many times have I said that? I'll keep saying it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. In other words, I'm going to hear your prayers. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So we've seen that patterns of revival. I know years ago I would read about various small indigenous groups, and when there was true revival, the land changed. I'm thinking of a small native group in Alaska. There was wholesale revival that broke out after there'd been such drug abuse and alcohol abuse and domestic violence. And the caribou actually started coming back. God started blessing the land. It's so wonderful when we, place God first. And so the important thing is some of them were probably feeling guilty. They were making excuses. They working hard as they could. And it says in verse 6 and 7, you've sown much, you bring in little, you eat, but you have not enough, you drink, but you're not filled with drink, he clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Now, we don't keep our money in bags today with holes. We keep them in banks. But have you ever had situations happen where something, you know, the car breaks down or your furnace decides it's going to stop working or air conditioner or some major thing? If you're a homeowner, there's always something to just drain the finances. And so the reason I'm taking the time is that we should be able to relate to them. Sometimes it's just a matter of surviving, just carrying on, just making it from day to day, getting up in the morning, go to bed at night. And, you know, God, He knows the difficulty. He said in this world, you're going to have tribulation. We would earn our bread by the sweat of our brow. That's what He told Adam. And so a time is coming when all that's going to change, and we can encourage one another with those words, the return of the Lord draweth nigh, right? But let's go back to them. They did not realize that God Himself had removed the obstacles. They had experienced severe opposition, and there were so many problems, and the king, just Artaxerxes, says, just, you know, no way, forget it, stop the building. And of course they were a subjugated people, and they had to. But when I said the Lord had removed the obstacles, Artaxerxes was no longer king. There was a new king, Darius, and he was not like his predecessor. He did not favor the enemies of the Jews when a report was made to him. That, if you want to read it, go to Ezra 5 and 6. The hindrances that had stood in the way of rebuilding the temple had been removed by God. And so, beloved, for us, okay, let me stop right there. What is it in our lives when we encounter what appears to be defeat or disappointments or hindrances or obstacles? Obviously, that is the work of the enemy that God has allowed. What do we do, beloved? What we have to do is respond in faith. We have to recall what the scriptures tell us. We have the full armor of God. We have the shield of faith. That faith that is, I'm not talking the gift of faith, I'm talking about the faith that is given to us as a child of God. And that is the shield that protects us from those fiery darts of the enemy. And then we've got the sword of the Spirit, the very thing that Jesus used. He turned to the devil in the wilderness. He said, "Devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God." And so God had removed the hindrances for them. And just like for us, God has assured us, He's told us, you may not feel it right now, but you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's a pretty powerful statement. And we've got power over all power of the enemy. When we're in the midst of a battle, it may not feel like it, but Father, right now, I want to pray for those who are struggling right now in Jesus' name. Lord, sometimes we're just plain worn out. And you understand that there were times that you had to allow Elijah just to rest, your servants of old. There were times, even Jesus with his disciples, come and rest a while. You understand our physical limitations, emotionally, psychologically, physically. But Father, we thank you that we're to walk in the Spirit, that our spirit man doesn't get tired. Our spirit man has been made alive in Christ Jesus. Our spirit man will never die. Unless Jesus returns, our physical bodies will die, Lord, unless you return, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the saints, resurrected to be forever with the Lord. Lord, but now, Lord, you know what it is to face opposition. You endure the contradiction of sinners against you. So, Father, right now I ask you to touch those that are struggling. Father, let them know that you really have in the Spirit. Sometimes we've got to hold in there. We've got to keep battling. You know, like with Nehemiah, God, it took 52 days, but the work was completed. So, Father, I ask for supernatural empowering, their faith to be stirred, their knowledge that you are true. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Father, make this a reality to all of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. And when I pray that, I pray for myself too. Okay? I'm part of God's people. Okay. So the hindrances have been removed. What happened? Well, the original decree for the rebuilding the temple had been found by Cyrus. You know, Cyrus had decreed that, and every assistance was being offered. But there was one thing missing: the will on the part of the people of God. And so we have to ask ourselves individually. There's one judge, and that is Jesus. It's not for me to judge you. It's not for your pastor to judge you. You stand before the Lord and see what He would have you do. And it's not becoming more diligent in excessive service. Sometimes I think we've just gotten ourselves too busy thinking it's the will of God, and it may not even be God's plan for us. Oh, our hearts are right, but we're wearing ourselves out. And so God knows the balance He wants to place in each one of our lives. The return had taken place 16 years earlier. I'm speaking of ancient Israel. And during that time, the hopes of the people had risen and been shattered. Can you relate to that, beloved? Remember the time you were walking in such faith and power in the glory of the Lord? You were just, you know, on top of the mountain. And, you know, if you're honest, sometimes you feel like you're in that horrible pit David talked about. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. What did He do? He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm sorry, I couldn't help that. It just came out, the beautiful promise of that psalm. And also, it should be remembered, they had not heard the voice of a prophet. God spoke through Haggai to make known to His people what He thought of the condition that they were in. And yes, it's a sharp rebuke, but they were neglecting to rebuild the temple. The remnant had returned from Babylon. They were selfishly occupied with their own affairs, were more concerned about beautifying their own dwellings than the house of God. They were self-seeking. They were interested in building homes or lives for themselves, getting food, while the Lord's work could wait. They were self-centered, satisfied with their own affairs and pleasures, and everything else was no consequence. Well, beloved, I don't want to lead it on a negative note. I want to assure you, it doesn't stop there. That's not the end. And I believe that's true today. God is speaking by the Spirit of God, and those who have ears to hear, as Jesus spoke in His earthly ministry, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. I love you, and I must bring this broadcast to a close, and we'll continue next week. I hope you can join me. Till then, know that you are loved, appreciated, prayed for daily, my UCM partners, as well as my radio family. The announcer will give our contact information. If God's moving on you, I invite you to write, share those needs. And until next time, this is Sister Judith saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.